Well, Dr. Taze gave a pretty good introduction on stink bugs, so that takes away a little bit of my thunder here, but I'm going to be focusing mainly on brown stink bugs. And the brown stink bugs have continued to increase their pest status, and that's due mainly to the reduction in the use of broad-spectrum insecticides and our increased agroecosystem suitability. Now, wheat has been a really great bridge host for these insects. As they come out of overwintering sites, they're utilizing wheat and then moving on to these later summer hosts like cotton, soybeans, peanuts. So we've seen this commonly, especially in North Carolina. And as I mentioned, in North Carolina, I've gone out and sampled many of these wheat fields, and this just shows you how some of the populations we have. This is just from 15 sweeps across the heads of wheat, and you can pretty well see down there the bottom of that bucket is just covered with nymph and adult stink bugs. So with this kind of information in our mind, we wanted to know, what impact are these adult brown stink bugs actually having on wheat yield and seed germination of wheat? So in 2006, we planted Pioneer 26R12 wheat in the fall and then let it grow during the winter and used standard agronomic practices, which included fertilizer and herbicides. In 2007, again in the fall, we planted Pioneer 26R31 wheat, again used standard agronomic practices, including fertilizers and herbicides. No insecticides were applied to either of these fields. We then, in the spring, went out and collected adult brown stink bugs from secondary wheat fields. We brought these adult bugs back to the lab and we put them into half-gallon containers. We held them for several days on a diet of green beans, raw peanuts, and water. This was to ensure their survivability. I then went to our wheat fields and prepared them for our caging. We thinned the wheat down to where we had 20 wheat heads per cage site. I then took wire mesh screen cages measuring approximately 3 feet by 2 feet by 1 feet and placed them over these 20 heads of wheat. The top of the cages were then sealed by using a stapler and a 1 by 2 inch board. We left a little slit up at the top so we could place our stink bugs in at a later time. The bottom of the cages were then sealed with mounds of soil. When we were ready, we then brought the stink bugs out and kept them in a cooler so they didn't overheat while we were infesting each one. We then made our stink bug introductions, and these were into the cages on two separate dates. And in 2007, this was on 5/14/07, and this corresponded to the milk stage of wheat. That's when you can squeeze the seed of the milk or the wheat and you get a nice juice, basically a milk coming out of the seed. Our second introduction was on 5/23/07. This is the early dough stage of wheat. It's when you can take the seed, press it between your fingers, and you get more of a gelatinous material coming out. And we again did this in 2008 with our milk stage infestations beginning on 5/1/08 and then our early dough infestations on 5/12/08. These were set up in a randomized complete design and then replicated six times, with the exception of in 2008, only was able to replicate it 4 times at the early dough stage, and this was due to the lack of stink bugs at the time. I ran out of some susceptible adults. We then had 4 treatment levels. These consisted of a control with no stink bug, and then 2 stink bugs per cage, 4 stink bugs per cage, and finally 6 stink bugs per cage. The cages were removed from both treatments and all heads were collected on 6/11/2007 and 6/13/2008 respectively. The data that we recorded from these cages consisted of the total number of seeds per 20 seed heads, the total seed weight in grams per the 20 heads, and then the total seed volume in milliliters per the 20 seed heads. And then finally, a seed weight of 200 seed in grams subsample. The seeds were then placed into the freezer and held until we could get around to doing a seed germination test. Now, our seed germination test consisted of the same experimental design as the field cage study. Again, we had the 2 stink bug introduction times, the milk stage and the early dough. Again, we repeated it 6 times with the exception of the early dough in 2008 where it was only 4 replicates. And then we had the 4 treatment levels, the control, the 2, 4, and 6 stink bugs per cage. I then took 50 wheat seeds and placed them evenly spaced out on a moist sheet of germination paper, as you can see here, and did this twice for a total of 100 seed for each treatment level and each replication. These were then rolled up and moistened and put into a Tupperware container. These Tupperware containers were then taken to an environmental chamber and held at a constant 20 degrees C for 24 hours of darkness. The number of seeds germinating were then counted 4 days and 7 days following the seed germination initiation. The germination test was repeated 4 times, and this was over time. Both the seed yields and germination test data were then subjected to ANOVA, and the means were separated through an LSD test with a p-value of 0.05. So now as we dive into the results, I'm going to take a second to set up this table as it will be used in the next set of slides. In our first column, we have our treatment levels, our 0, 2, 4, and 6 bugs per cage. Next column is our total number of seeds per 20 heads. Next column is our total seed weight in grams per 20 heads. Then our total seed volume in milliliters for the 20 seed heads. And then finally, our subsample of 200 seeds in grams. So as we start diving into this, we see that for the milk stage in 2007, there was no difference between our zero bug level treatment or any of the other treatment levels for the total seeds counted, or for the total seed weight in grams, or the total volume, or finally for our subset of 200 seeds. So no differences occurred at all in 2007 for our milk stage. Now as we looked at our early dough stage from 2007, again, we see no differences between 0 bugs, 2 bugs, 4 bugs, and 6 bugs for any of our data categories, which include our total seed, our seed weight, our seed volume, and our subsample. Now moving to 2008, starting with the milk stage, again, no difference between any of our treatment levels for the total seeds, the seed weight, the seed volume, or our subsample. So we're really starting to see a good pattern, and it also continued for our early dough stage in 2008. No difference between 0 bugs, 2 bugs, 4 bugs, or 6 bugs with respect to total seeds, our seed weight, seed volume, or our subsample. So this is really telling us that even though we have all these stink bugs out there, we're not seeing any yield damage occurring from these guys. Now as we dive into our germination test, I'm gonna start the graph somewhat similar. We have our treatments in our first column, 0 bugs, 2 bugs, 4 bugs, and 6 bugs per cage. Now our next column, it says test one. This is referring to our milk stage. And day 4 is 4 days after the germination test was initiated. So our next column is the milk stage, looking at the seed germination 7 days after test initiation. Test 2 refers to our dough stage, and that's 4 days past test initiation. Test 2 again, early dough stage, 7 days. So we see that there is a significant difference for test 1, 4 days after germination initiation test, between our control and our high level of 6 stink bugs. But by day 7, those numbers all pretty well started to even back out, and we saw no difference between our treatment levels. However, for our early dough stage, again, we saw differences between our control and our high level of stink bugs for both 4 days and 7 days following our test initiation. Looking at the 2008 data, the table set up the same way. Again, we see a significant difference occurring at our high bug infestation level for test one, the milk stage, at both 4 and 7 days. Now, if you look here, these numbers are really low compared to everything else. I went back, checked my data. It was not due to any outliers or anything. It's just the way it happened. Right now, I can't tell you why. I even took samples of wheat outside of our cages, and I don't have that data here, but I measured all the same yield qualities and everything. The cage apparently didn't have any effect. So this is just happened to be an anomaly for this year and on the or for this test as well, because once you go to test 2 at the early dough stage, we see it set up to where our control had the highest significant values, but were not significantly different from our highest bug levels, yet they were significantly different from the 2 bug level, just the way it's going. But the main thing we can take from this is there is an impact from these brown stink bug adults on our germination quality, or percent germination. So in our discussion, the wheat yield was not impacted, as I mentioned, by the adult brown stink bugs, especially up to that 6 bugs per 20 heads at either the milk or the early dough stage. However, our wheat seed germination was impacted by the adult brown stink bugs, and we saw this at both the early or at the milk and early dough stage of the wheat. So what can we really take from this? Well, producers may not see a direct monetary impact due to the wheat yield loss. However, especially if they're growing their wheat for seed, they may be concerned about the brown stink bug adult infestation, since minimum wheat seed germination is a guaranteed parameter on seed bags. So with that, if we have any time, I'd be happy to take a question or two.